Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 486. After a week off, this is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. What is going on, good sir?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying their day and enjoying their week. I definitely am because I'm getting bonus holiday pay due to tomorrow being a National Day of Mourning. It was made a federal holiday for us.
Oh, well... I will go to work like normal and have everything normal happen.
Yeah. So also at work, as some people know, like I live in the Central Texas Austin area, work on Fort Hood. Tribute to the Troops is at Fort Hood this year, so the WWE superstars happen to be on post. And I found that out because the chief of pharmacy was a young middle-aged woman came and asked us, "Oh, any of you guys watch Total Divas? I took a picture with Paige. You want to see?" And lo and behold, in her phone was a picture of Paige, and she seemed very happy to take a picture of Paige. Like, that made her day. And I would have never guessed that she was a fan of Total Divas because she didn't seem the type to watch that. But like I've told Jeremy, we talked before, plenty of people seem to watch that show. Like, it's the reason why that show's been on for as long as it's been on, and the people on there tend to be rather popular.
Yeah, it's kind of taken for granted how long it's been on. Because, I mean, it's something to me that I know I watched the first season. The second season, I probably watched the start of it. But then I just kind of tapped out. Like, reality shows have never really been my thing. But I know that my wife liked them, though, and my ex-wife liked them also.
Yeah, like, I always think I was in the same boat, like, you know, watch season one, and then as wrestling fans, like, oh, we kind of, someone's poo-pooed on saying, like, oh, they're trying to make drama, stuff that already happened, that was scripted in the ring, and yada, yada, yada. And it's funny where it's a show with wrestlers, but wrestling fans weren't really the demographic. It was more like people like reality shows. Because I know plenty of people who don't watch wrestling who watch Total Divas. And yes, the show's been on for 5 years. It came out in July of 2013. So it's been going on steady. And like,
yeah,
it's a reason, like I told you, it's a reason why the Bella Twins became popular. And Total Divas was one of the reasons.
And like, they got a spinoff out of it, which is, because aren't they both on E?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's the other thing about it that I kind of, well, you know, E is just not my station either. But, you know, they're sustaining themselves on a network that, yeah, probably a lot of wrestling fans don't watch. So those people are kind of a whole separate demographic that they pull in.
Yeah, so I was mad because I didn't get to see any of the wrestlers because I was busy working. And then I go on social media, and they had, like, you know, AOP was at the airbase, you know, with machine guns. You see, like, you know, Charlotte was there taking pictures of somebody. Apparently Roman Reigns was there. Like, it'd be, like, his first appearance since he had was diagnosed with, like, leukemia. So it's just a funny thing. Like, you know, I've gone to plenty of wrestling shows. I rarely see wrestlers outside of, like, the ring. Like, Access, I think I've been there maybe once or twice I've seen them. And they do look different. Like, some wrestlers just look normal. Some look a lot different in public, you know, either a lot bigger or a lot smaller. What I tend to notice are that the women tend to look smaller compared to TV. For the most part, it's some that look like they look on TV, or some of us look a lot better than they look on TV. And the men, like the big ones, the ones that stand out are like the Big Show and Mark Henry. That's how big they are. Like, you know, Mark Henry looks like a dinosaur.
Well, I don't really remember seeing Mark Henry up close, but I think we've probably told the story, but it's sure worth telling again, I suppose. Jeremy and I went down with our ex-wives to the Royal Rumble in Atlanta, and I can't think of which year that was, but we decided to take a set of stairs that no one else was taking. We're like, oh man, this has got to be quicker. Like, every other way out of here is fucking packed. So we go down the set of stairs, and we found ourselves backstage in catering. And we ended up exiting because we were afraid that someone was going to find out that we weren't supposed to be there. Because we had no lanyards on like everyone else we ran into. But we ended up seeing the Big Show that night up close, and it was just like, holy cow. Like, that was one that... He is so unbelievably big that, you know, it's just kind of hard to soak in how big that guy is.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, you know, he's called the Big Show. You always see pictures, like, he compares the size of his hand to a normal person's hand. But until you see them, like, you know, you watch them on TV and it doesn't really resonate. I think that comes with us a lot of sports anyway, like athletes you see on TV and you think, oh, like, I know they're big. I'm like, no. You have no idea how big they are. Like, people think I'm big, and I'm like, no. I might be around 6 foot, in the 250s. I'm just... But apparently, I look like a monster compared to, like, somebody that's, like, you know, 5'8", 5'9", 160 pounds. I might as well be Godzilla. And it never really sunk into me. Talked to, like, family pictures, and you I see my siblings looking like a normal size. Like, who is that bodyguard in the back? And then I realize that's me.
Yeah, my siblings are all about the same size, so,
yeah, so I
don't need to worry about that part.
So I can only imagine, like, if somebody like Batista size, like how he would stand out, or like somebody like the big Show. But anyway, you know, they're in town.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was catching the end of SmackDown with Daniel Bryan beating out AJ Styles, and they kept going cutting to the cameras with like the fans and also, like, a lot of Austin wrestling fans, like a lot of Mexicans there, and they were not having Daniel Bryan at all. Like, they were not pleased. And I was having a conversation with somebody about like the wrestling demographics, because it's kind of like it doesn't match what people think of wrestling. Like, people think like wrestling, like, you know, Yahoo redneck hillbilly things. I'm like, no, wrestling fans tend to lean Democratic and very diverse. And especially you go to certain, like you go to Texas, it's the blacks and Mexicans come on out. There's Austin, El Paso, San Antonio. They come out in force, and they cheer for the good guys and boo the bad guys. It's not that whole we're going to cheer the bad guys to be cool nonsense going on in Austin. Like, that little eight and 10-year-olds was mad at Daniel Bryan, Mr. Eco-Terrorist himself. Talking about he's going to teach Bernie to kick every man in the groin for using straws and eating unsustainable meat products.
Oh, yeah, that gimmick, it always seems to work. Talking down to the people and telling them what they should be doing always works out well. And Daniel Bryan is certainly not any exception. He's
so good at being a villain and just being like the type of smug, I'm better than you. You should be ashamed of yourself for your lifestyle choices, and I'm going to tell you how ashamed you should be, and then I'm going to beat you up while just like Tony Hawk. Like, it's just... The whole thing is just hilarious because he's just so smug and arrogant and preachy. But then, like, if you listen to him, like, yeah, you know, recycling does help the community. Maybe they use too many straws and yada, yada, yada. But it's not like he rode a horse, you know, to SmackDown. Like, he has the same carbon footprint that everybody else he's complaining about. But then he goes in the ring and he's just, like he's stomping AJ Styles in the head. And like preventing AJ Styles from protecting himself, like he's wrestling like a sadistic monster while preaching about, you know, recycle your underwear when you're done with them. Like, how could you get behind that? Like, that's it's easy to boo Daniel Bryan between the way he's wrestling, the promos he's cutting, and it didn't really take that much for people to get there. And it's funny thinking about that, considering how popular Daniel Bryan is and how sympathetic he was from coming back from his injury. Because who else would treat the whole thing? When I was in my hyperbaric chamber, I used my dreams to fuel me to get over to the fans. I'm like, supervillain talk.
Oh yeah, it is, and he's quite good at the supervillain talk. It really this was something that he needed, and it's great that he went this way, because it's certainly a side of Daniel Bryan that hasn't, to me, really been out in the WWE. I mean, I know that he was a heel before, but you know, I guess he wasn't in this position, and that kind of makes a difference too. And it's being approached differently, I think, than when he was a heel previously.
Yeah, very true. Like before, it was kind of treated like jokey joke, like the, you know, before the team held no thing, or it's kind of like, you know, he was like the sexist jerk with all the stuff going on with like AJ Lee. He wasn't like ruthless like he is now. Like,
right.
This is. From people who say, like, you know, this reminds them of, like, the indie version of Daniel Bryan from back in the day, and you hadn't seen that in WWE before. So it's definitely different for a lot of fans, and it's definitely effective because fans like AJ Styles. They like booing Dan, like, so it's going to be easy to boo against somebody against AJ Styles. And it's just a funny dynamic with him and The Miz because, I don't know, was it last week or 2 weeks ago where I was wondering, is Miz a babyface? Like, I think it was like when they were in like Los Angeles and they treat him like he's a hometown hero and they're chanting like, thank you, Miz, and Miz is awesome. And he didn't even do anything. And I'm like, I'm sitting there watching this. And I'm like, how did this happen? He didn't do anything. Like, he didn't change anything in his personality or anything like that, and they're treating him like he's a hero.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. It has gone hand in hand with Daniel Bryan's change, but it's just like you said, The Miz hasn't done anything to precipitate this. It's just that there's so much heat coming off of Daniel Bryan that by proxy, I guess, he's becoming the babyface. It is a pretty strange dynamic that they have going on.
But Miz was right all along. Was basically kind of like, because he was the one railing against Daniel Bryan. You know, you don't know the real Daniel Bryan like I know. When you see what I see, you understand I was right. And normally, when the heel talks like that, you just figure like the heel is just talking. Miz was right. I mean, that's the funny thing that changed. And I know they had a dark match where Miz was the babyface wrestling the heel Daniel Bryan, and I'm like, what bizarre world. Like, who would have predicted that this would ever be a thing?
I was not expecting this to happen, that's for sure. So I would imagine that a large portion of our audience did not really expect this to be the outcome. Because, I mean, even the way The Miz is still, like, even with, like, Shane McMahon is still trying to placate his ego and everything, but he has like a slightly different approach to all of it, and it does seem to be making him more presentable as a babyface, because I guess even the goofy stuff with the trophy that he's doing with Shane McMahon is...
You mean best in the world, Shane McMahon, gold cup winner Shane McMahon, we're gonna form a tag team and, you know, win the tag team title, Shane McMahon, but lose these jobbers the first time we're a tag team last week. Yeah, the whole Miz and Shane thing, I'm like, are they setting up to have a match? Like, what's I'm just weird, like, what's going on? Because I'm curious to see what's going on, because I'm definitely entertained. And that's what the thing about, I like about SmackDown, they do things that even if you don't normally think it would be, the, you know, that's what you wanted to see. You end up wanting to see it. But the fact that Shane McMahon is still wrestling part-time at his age, I'm like, why? I know that whole family loves to entertain, but like, Shane doesn't have anything to prove. He's out there, could seriously hurt himself with some of the stuff he's doing. And he's rich, and he's a father, and he's old. So, and they have enough people. So why are you, I'm like,
they have more than enough people.
Hell, SmackDown has enough people. Raw, definitely. I mean, we'll get the or Raw later, but SmackDown definitely has enough people where they don't need Shane McMahon to do this. But I'm curious to see the whole vibe with Shane and Miz and where that go. I'm curious to see Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles to see how long they draw that out. And then, of course, it's like you got the women. And, you know, that match has the potential to be the best women's match they've ever had. The three of them in a TLC match.
And tonight's promos between those three women didn't do anything to dissuade me. Like, you know, they haven't really done much with Asuka since her loss to Charlotte. But people still seem to have at least the fans seem to have a healthy dose of respect for her, you know, potentially winning it. Like, I don't think she will. But
it's funny where I could see her winning. Not, I mean, because it's kind of like everything's leaning toward Becky winning the Rumble, the challenge Ronda Rousey.
Oh,
so how do you get the title? Like, how do you get the title off of her? And you know, right, without her getting pinned. And at first, I think people assume that Charlotte would pin Asuka, so Charlotte would win. I think it's a better chance of Asuka pinning Charlotte, so Asuka wins, because Charlotte doesn't need the belt either. You know,
oh,
like, her going on, she's busy doing her whole Joker imitation. Like, Charlotte lost her mind, became a lunatic somehow. So. Yeah, I'm just curious to see the match because they all vibe well. They're like basically like the three most respected, like, in ring and out of the ring women they have in WWE. You would never guess them in a triple threat match, especially like at their point in career where Asuka's that whole. The fans know that she's good, even if they don't book her as good. Like, she has that respect regardless,
yeah.
And you could tell, like, you see Evolution when her and Ember Moon about to go off, the fans go wild when their battle royal happened last week and her and Sonya Deville were the last two, the crowd got super excited and they got completely behind Asuka. So it's like, the fans know what Asuka's about. Becky Lynch speaks for herself. Like, WWE at this point knows what Becky Lynch is about. They have her coming out with a Titantron calling her the man. So, so they already know. And then Charlotte, we talk about how people are different personas. We've seen Charlotte be a heel. We haven't seen, like, Charlotte be Terry Funk. Because that's what she's been since that whole stuff with Ronda Rousey. Like, I don't know who decided that. Like, I see her on Twitter, and she's quoting Dr. Dre and the Joker. She challenges both of the Iconics. She has a match with one of them, beats them. She has a match with the other one, and then jumps both of them. Know, have a brawl and lay them both out, like, and she's just standing there looking like she's insane. And then this week, she's just talking trash, like, she basically telling Becky Lynch to shut up and get out the ring. Like, Becky Lynch is a chump, and Becky's just looking at her like, I'm the man, I'm the champ. Didn't I just beat you? And Charlotte's talking like, I don't care, like, I'm talking right now, that was a fluke. Like, get the hell out of my ring while I talk to this other girl. We handle business.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be kind of funny at some point for Lynch to go, no, I started what you just followed through on. I'm still going to whoop your ass. Because, yeah, I mean, yeah, Charlotte is kind of capitalizing on Becky being popular for beating the hell out of her. And it's just like, oh, this works? And it does feed into her kind of former persona. I mean, I think it's a little bit changed from what she was doing in NXT, yeah. But it's definitely in that same area.
It's just weird because before, Charlotte's been a heel before, but Norman's been like, I'm the regal heel, I'm above it all heel, I'm just great, not this, I'm insane. Like, it didn't come out.
Yeah.
It didn't come out too much this week, but the last few weeks she came off like she was unbalanced, and like even Corey Graves and Saxon was kind of like, I haven't seen Charlotte like this. I'm thinking the same way. Like, you don't see somebody like that looks like Charlotte act like that normally. Like, you know, you used to see that like Nikki Crosses or Mickie James, because it kind of like, you know, fits. Not some big 5'10 regal woman that comes out in a long flowing robe, but like she's about to drool all over herself. That she DDT people on the floor. Like, that just seems very off putting. But like, I'm definitely looking forward to that match. That match is the main event, I'd be very surprised. And it just show, like, for all of the talk about, you know, the quote unquote Divas Revolution, women are running WWE. Like, they seem to be like the main attraction on both shows. SmackDown's been like that for a while. It's definitely seemed like that Raw. Like, I didn't watch too much of Raw because the Eagles game was on. But like, the first, I'm like, wait, they got women in back-to-back segments to open up the show? Like, when does that happen?
It's hard to remember the women getting this much time. And like you said, like, it's been both shows, and yeah, like Raw, I thought the same thing. I was just like, oh, I mean, that Raw segment, the questions for Sasha and Bayley are so painful. I'm glad that they finally spit out the fact that they're thinking about doing women's titles, tag team titles.
Thank God, because they only been hitting about it for like 8 months. Like, that was supposed to be the thing for like Evolution. People assumed they were going to have like a tournament for tag team titles. Then, like, they have enough women to do it. And
oh, yeah.
Why, and like, it's like, you know, why else is Sasha Banks and Bayley tag teaming every week? It's like, what are they fighting for if it's not like for a tag team title? So it's kind of like, I'm glad they finally mentioned that. But
yeah, because those two even went so far as to get matching ring gear a few weeks ago before they even brought it up. I'm like, oh, come on, man. They cannot, because they were just kind of doing their own thing, which was fine at the beginning. But when you start switching to matching ring gear, it's just like, you've got to be launching this tag team division for the women. Like, there's just, I understand that people's main complaint is, well, you can't do it just on one show. And I'm just like, well, yeah, I kind of agree with that. But
they have enough women on both shows to do it. If they want to go that route and have tag team titles on both shows, they can do that on both shows. They don't even have to bring up any new people from NXT, even though I'm sure new people from NXT will be there sooner than later. Because, like, I don't know how many matches, and I see those two wrestle somebody from the Riot Squad, and Ruby Riott gets a cheap win, and you know, see Liv Morgan, and see Liv Morgan stick her tongue out before they bounce back out to the ring. So, yeah, give them some tag team title, give them something to do. But yeah, the main thing I noticed from Raw, and I've noticed in the past for like a while now, is that WWE was very lucky during the Attitude Era when Austin was out that they had The Undertaker, Mankind, Triple H, and The Rock. Because Austin was out and they didn't even notice it. Roman Reigns being out is very noticeable. Like, that show has been dog crap since Roman Reigns has been gone. And it's...
Yeah, it's kind of funny what happens when you remove the big dog from the situation. It's something that a lot of people complained about, that he was maybe chewing up too much scenery. But at this point, man, I like some of this stuff that's been going on for Raw, but not very much. A, most of it's involved the women, and B, I guess I'm good with the Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose stuff, but...
You mean Bane? Or Psycho Mantis? Like, which one is Dean Ambrose being? Like, I'm very intrigued by this Seth Rollins Dean Ambrose thing, because Dean Ambrose has turned into a SoundCloud rapper.
Oh no.
Yeah, like, is the way he's dressed now, he's talking, he comes out and they all have on gas masks. I'm like, what in the world is, like, I'm just intrigued, because I'm like, what am I watching? Like, I don't know what I'm watching, but I'm definitely watching it. And it's Although I was laughing my ass off when Dean Ambrose, what was it, last week, he's getting the injections. I'm like, this is a case of wrestling doing extremely broad comedy. Because anyone who's gotten a vaccination knows those needles are not that goddamn big. Like, unless you're vaccinating a damn shark, you don't need a turkey baster to get, like, a vaccine for rabies. Like, and I'm just watching this. I'm like, man, only in wrestling. All they might as well just had a plunger that said vaccine on, like, it was from Acme.
Acme vaccine. Oh, that would have been outstanding. Well, yeah, and I'm not sure that anyone shoots anyone up in the buttocks in this day and age either.
Not for vaccines. They still do for certain antibiotics when you've been doing things you haven't been supposed to do. That's still a thing. But,
oh, okay.
But no, I mean, if it wasn't for Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and the women, because what else you got? Like, I was supposed to chair Dolph Ziggler all of a sudden because Drew McIntyre was right all along and he just pointed out. Like, why do you think that's going to happen? Like, Drew was right, talking about, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be relevant. The only reason people cared about you because we tag team together. And I'm like, yep. He's right. Like, he's absolutely right. So now I was also with a chick, like, Dolph Ziggler is not sympathetic. No offense to Dolph Ziggler, but it's kind of like that ship sailed a while ago. And it's not like he's always been this beloved babyface to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, he had his moment of popularity, but over the long haul of his tenure, he has, well, I mean, come on, his Twitter handle said it all along, Heel Ziggler.
Yeah, you know? I wonder if you want to change it to Face Ziggler. I seriously doubt it, but it's kind of like, he's going to get Terry's babyface just so Drew McIntyre can bulldoze right through him, as he should, because it's like, Drew McIntyre is the one that's on the up and up. Dolph Ziggler's not. But then that leads to the problem that Raw has, where it's not just the fact that Roman Reigns is out. It's that Roman Reigns is out. Braun Strowman is out. Kevin Owens is out. Sami Zayn is out. And Brock Lesnar's part-time. But even if Brock Lesnar wasn't part-time, like if Brock Lesnar came to Raw on Monday, say, I'm challenging somebody for the title. Who's challenging him?
Oh.
Finn Balor? Elias?
Yeah, there's no one for him to take up the challenge, or at least no one that I'd want to feed to him, necessarily. You know, if you want to have one of those young guy comes close to winning type challenges, like, you don't want to feed Lars Sullivan to him in his first match.
Don't give me any ideas.
At all.
Yeah, I don't see Lars. Oh, message board Lars, Lawn Dart, and Finn Balor, because he don't like that pride shirt that Finn's rocking. So let's leave that alone. But no, it's just Raw issue before was it was top heavy and didn't have a make card, and now the top has been chopped off. So you got Drew McIntyre. Whatever Bobby Lashley's doing with Leo Rush, looking like a Double Dragon villain, and Baron Corbin's the main antagonist of Raw. Like, give me a damn break. This is like 2000. It reminded me like the mid 2000 Raws, where it was like John Cena and a bunch of mess.
Oh, like God,
like Snitsky and stuff like that. Like that Raw era. It's the master lock challenge. Like
the Raw era when we as Stunt Granny went, whew, do we really want to keep on doing this? Oof, that was not good. That was not a good era.
Yeah, it's funny, like nostalgia will blind you from a lot of stuff. It's kinda like Raw has had some rough spots for quite a few years, and right now I don't think can't really plan this whole thing. Like, Roman Reigns. I think the biggest issue is that WWE has a whole lot of talent, but they don't have a whole lot of stars. And the stars aren't really, like, situated in, like, a balanced manner where you can sustain something like this. Where, I mean, it's not their fault that, you know, both Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman's hurt. I mean, because those are like two of their big names along with Brock. But then you have that. You still have, like, you know, Sami Zayn. Who knows? Like, he won't be back for a while. Kevin Owens, same thing. And it's like those injuries here and there kind of adds up. Like, you know, you can miss one or two. You miss four. And then it's like, okay, no wonder I'm seeing Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre every single week. You know, or Elias, like, having to be a big deal now because they don't have, you know, the baby faces. Like, I hadn't seen Rhino and Heath Slater in the longest, and now it's like, the loser gets fired? Why would I care? Like, I didn't even know they were on Raw. Now, all of a sudden, you and me, yeah, Heath Slater got kids. I hope his kids are taken care of by now. He's been in WWE for a while.
Yeah, I would hope he is not on the extravagant spender side of the WWE, considering his place has been his place for a long time, pretty much his entire run on the roster. But, I mean, even talking about some of those other guys, like, you can have Finn Balor fill in, but he's been such a background character for so long at this point, they almost need to rebuild him?
Yeah, I think they have been doing it kind of slow and subtly. It's not like they buried him or anything like that. It's just kind of like, I don't know if they want to. It's in a weird spot where they think highly of him, but you don't want to sacrifice him to Brock Lesnar. But it's kind of like, I'm guessing, well, I think they have Seth Rollins going to wrestle Brock Lesnar. I guess a Mania is kind of like the rumor right now. So you just got to find a way to get from now to Mania and set that up. It's easy with Seth Rollins because Seth Rollins is like the man. He's been the man for a while. So just got to get the belt off of him and finish doing what you're doing with Dean Ambrose. It's just, they're in a weird spot where they have people that are like over, but I think it's over out of necessity. Like, I don't, like, there's no issue with Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley being high on the card, but it's like they're only there because people are hurt. Or it's kind of like, you know, or they have a certain vibe. Even in this, and you get that whole thing, like, did they really earn it? And I never kind of liked it anyway because it's professional wrestling. What does earning have to do with anything? But with WWE, it's kind of like, fans feel a certain way if they feel like you being force-fed down their throats, like you're only there because Vince likes you. And that doesn't work if Vince likes you and they don't like you. Because then you get the whole thing like, this stuff again. Like Bobby Lashley was on there because he had muscles. And I'm liking Bobby Lashley with Leo Rush, but it's just kind of like not at, I don't know if I like them like this high, but they don't have a choice. They don't have anybody else. Like who else would be there if it wasn't Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley right now?
Well, and that was one thing I did ponder with Jeremy earlier today. As far as the Drew McIntyre goes in this equation, I'll get back to Lashley. Did they keep Ziggler with McIntyre just to not make you feel like he was being shoved down your throat and to introduce him for a little while before they moved on, and put him, I mean, they're putting him back in the main event picture, which is kind of hilarious considering the last time it's just like, hey, he's a main eventer. He pretty much comes back to Raw and it's just like, hey, you're a main eventer.
I mean, he looks like one now. And it's kind of, yeah. Like, it's this funny thing where before when he first got the push on SmackDown, like, he's only getting pushed because Vince likes me at a certain look. Now it's kind of like he has more. He's more mature. He looks like a grown man now. It's like he's respected. Like he's earned that. But everybody knows. It's like you look at, like, he carries himself like a big deal. All his promos about, you know, you millennials busy playing video games, complaining about life. Why don't you go out and do something and be like me? It's like, yeah, he sounds like Vince McMahon and Vince McMahon wish he looked like that at his age. It's like everybody, like, you can look at Drew McIntyre, how he carries himself, how they book him. Like, it's a time of sooner or later he's going to be world champion. Like, I think everybody knows, like, either he's going to get it or Lashley's going to get it, because they both fit what Vince McMahon likes, and everybody knows, and everyone knows that everybody knows, but it's kind of like it fits, because, you know, they're both entertaining. Like, Drew McIntyre being this old man bully is entertaining. Lashley being this 1980s video game bully is also entertaining his own weird way. Although, I'm glad they kind of cut out this whole, look how he smells, he's got muscles on muscles, like, look at his glutes. Like, what are we doing? This is not pumping iron. And they fetishizing Lashley. I'm like, this is just icky, like, yuck. No, I know his glutes are striated. I don't need to see that.
Well, they still did that one this week, and I'm just like, man, can we really, I don't know why this feels like everyone likes this as a tagline, or whatever you want to call that, his final pose. I'm just like, can we just not do this one? This is go away heat for me. This is not the kind of heat that you're looking for.
Yeah, and it's got to be done on purpose, because it's just so, between that and Leo Rush just being so obnoxious, it's
my God.
There's nothing likable about Bobby Lashley. But it's funny where you think about Bobby Lashley, it's like he comes from a military background, he's a super athlete, he looks like a million bucks, but his best role is being that arrogant, he's not even a loudmouth, he's just like that arrogant jock, like, yes, I'm better than you. I'm going to tell you I'm better than you. It's nothing you can do about it. I only have to raise my voice. Like, he's just out there. Let me look. I got a vein on a vein. What you going to do about it?
Yeah, you're going to do nothing and like it, is what he normally tells you.
And then Leo is running around this is this how Jimmy Hart... Is this how people felt when Jimmy Hart was doing this? Because I don't remember Jimmy Hart being this annoying, but maybe I need to watch those old things. I don't know if I did this show with you, or it was Jeremy was talking about Jimmy Hart, and I was watching when he was with the Honky Tonk Man, and he was wrestling somebody, and all of a sudden you hear Jimmy like, come on, Honky, get him! And I just like, imagine you didn't watch wrestling, and you turn, that's the first thing you heard, this little man with his megaphone is going on and on. It was cute when Jimmy Hart did it, I won't lie. Like, it's just something funny, because Jimmy, like, Mid-South, like, you know, pre-WWF, Jimmy Hart had more edge, but Jimmy Hart, WWF, was, like, harmless. He's just out there, just annoying, just funny. So it's never like, you know, he didn't get on my nerves. Leo Rush gets on my nerves. Like, it's just... aggravating, because he just goes on and on and on and over again, and he can actually wrestle. That's what makes it worse. Like, he can actually fight, but he still acts like a coward and just hides behind Lashley. No, you can't do a thing about that. So yeah, so Raw's in a weird place because of injuries and who they're pushing. I need to rewatch the Raw stuff, because I've been seeing the Dean Ambrose things, but like a lot of times it's been like closed caption. I've been catching like without context. So like him getting vaccinations, I'm like, you know, if you didn't watch Raw, like if you didn't watch wrestling and you saw Dean Ambrose, you'd be asking questions. And then I see your recaps, you're getting on Renee Young because she's trying to be a good wife and not talk about her lunatic husband. And they keep getting on like Corey, like, what's going on with your husband, Renee? It's like, this is private stuff. We don't talk about this at the dinner table. Leave me alone.
Well, I just wish to God she had said that weeks ago. Like, I wasn't necessarily asking for her to explain his mindset, honestly. It really made it sound like a divorce situation. I'm sorry. Like, I know that Chris was like, I am not going to be associated with this, but I'm just kind of, you know, speaking from experience here. I'm just saying, when there's a lack of communication between husband and wife, things are not going well. I'm just throwing that out there. So if you at least say, hey, I want a little privacy, what happens at home is staying at home, I'm good with, like, it is a way better reason for her not to talk about it or, yeah, not to comment on it than whatever she said every other week before that.
I mean, to be fair to Renee, they put her in a lose-lose situation.
Oh.
Because she's a likable baby face and her husband's a maniac.
Yes.
And it's like, you haven't had that type of dynamic before in WWE where it's like you have a husband-wife thing. And one's a face and one's a heel and one's a commentator and talking, carrying, like, it'd be like if Miss Elizabeth was a commentator during Macho Man's matches. Like, you know, how do you, oh, you know, he's being, like, imagine Gorilla Monsoon grilling Elizabeth Lowe, you know, Macho, he's a little rambunctious this week. Did he talk about the dinner table before he put away the salad? Like, like, what is she supposed to say? It's kind of like she could have said something, but like, what's she supposed to say? Like, you know, Dean's dealing with demons right now. I tried to give him a foot rub. It didn't work. So, but
yeah,
it's just a weird thing because you've never had that type of thing before. It's not like, and it's compared to how they handle NXT, like Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano, is like they just shade her more heelish. You know, they were asking, like, what's Johnny doing? And she's like, you know, mind your business. And all of a sudden, she started wearing black lipstick and changed her hair. So it's like, you kind of know what's going on. They still have Renee as, like, you know, the voice nice. Because, like, everyone likes Renee Young.
Oh,
so
right.
That's the biggest thing. It's like, she's so likable. And Dean is, like, yeah.
Not likable currently.
You can tell he's been through some stuff. Like, this ain't the old Hill Dean Ambrose. This is, like, some weirdo, crazy. What's with all these crazy men heels all of a sudden in WWE?
Well, again, I think that it's kind of working. Like, people like the... Well, I shouldn't say like. I just think that there's been created a different... because of what's getting cheered, they've created a different type of heel in some ways, the fans... Like, you know, there are still people legit trying to get boos, and they've kind of, I mean, there's been a lot of ball punching one way or the other to become a heel. And
yeah,
I mean,
I've just been thinking about between Dean now and then on SmackDown, like Samoa Joe and Randy, like Samoa Joe was domestic violence, man. Like, I'm going to break in your house and terrorize your wife. And smack, and basically I'm gonna smack your kid around and then film it, and then whatever the, like, Randy Orton being Patrick Bateman, like, that's I'm sorry, I like Hill Randy Orton. Like, I'm just enjoying him just being an asshole and basically telling people why he's doing it. Like, why is he playing Rey Mysterio? They didn't get that out of their system 8 years ago.
No, they did not get out of their system 8 years ago.
Like, imagine somebody told you, like, yeah, you know, it's going to be a SmackDown feud with Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio in 2018, and people want to like it. You'd be like, what?
What are you talking about exactly?
Like, yeah, and that's after he had a feud with Jeff Hardy. Like, what? They're taking all the old stuff we used to watch on SmackDown and just running it back, and just Randy Orton just being... like a sociopath and bragging about it. Like, this mask, it doesn't mean tradition's just cheap. I'm just laughing because he's just so nonchalant. Like, y'all putting all this weight behind this thing about it's the traditional warriors. Like, it's just a piece of plastic, just like this bum. And I'm like, Rey Mysterio came back to get bullied by this jock madman that probably played lacrosse if he had time to.
Oh, I would certainly like to know if Randy Orton played lacrosse growing up.
He probably would bash him on the head the first time he didn't get a pass quick enough. But no, like you said, they've had to change their heels to be more like sociopathic because the cool heels were getting cheered too much. Like, you saw what happened with Becky Lynch. Like, she tried being a heel, and she was just too damn cool and good at it. It's like, that's not going to work. The same thing like The Miz. It's like, no, if you're going to be a heel, be like Daniel Bryan and talk about how, you know, if you don't eat salad, you're going to hell. No, like, most of the WWE Universe is not going to cheer that. So,
Oh man, yeah, that's a good way to sum that one up. It's yeah, I just think that the performers have needed to adapt, and I think that's what's kind of come of it, which is yeah, it's brought about an interesting dynamic just in general. Just promos are all weird, like you said, like the Dean Ambrose stuff is just really off his rocker. Like, I mean, you really need to go off your rocker in this day and age to be booed.
I'm getting vaccines so I don't get infected by the fans. Like, what? I mean, I've heard people talk about the fan, the whole thing. I'm gonna pull down my pants and get one while I'm cutting a promo, and just like, you can't do this in this me generation. Like, you know how many screenshots and jokes Dean Ambrose is just making this about these promos? Like, he's cutting promos in front of the fire, like he's a rapper. And people are making jokes like that, like he's looking like somebody from Rockefeller Records, and then coming out with a gas mask. People are making Metal Gear Solid jokes because he looked like Psycho Man, and somehow Seth Rollins gonna have to switch memory cards to beat him at TLC. Man, it's entertaining, so I will say that. Like, that's one of the few bright spots on Raw because there hasn't been a lot.
Oh,
Roman
no.
Reigns. And your health is paramount. If you can get healthy, get back soon, because the big dog is needed.
Yeah, if they're not sending that SOS already, but I mean, I do think that some of the guys that we've mentioned, if they get more time, I mean, more time in the spotlight, I think it'll help. Because, Lashley kind of just came back. McIntyre is, a pretty recent one. And at least with Finn Balor, they just need him to, get back on track in some ways. Like you said, like they've never really crapped on him, but they've never really done a whole lot with him either.
Yeah, it's
Like,
like
I mean,
they've
they
just been
gave him the
holding, like in
uni.
a holding period where before he was doing all that stuff with Baron Corbin, it felt like for like a year. It was only a few months, and now it's like he's doing now. No, the wild card is Elias.
Oh.
And it's just funny that that happened where he's another one where he was a heel, and he was so good at being a heel, he became a baby face. He didn't change anything except for he started beefing with Baron Corbin. That's the only thing that changed. Like, he's the same person. But it's like you get to the point now where ring work didn't matter. Now it's gonna matter. Like, you're in a different, like, if you're gonna be like a top guy, we talked about before, you're gonna be a top baby face, you gotta at least like hang with like certain people. And it's funny where I never really cared about his ring stuff because it was like he didn't wrestle that much. His whole thing was like, I'm just gonna go out here with my guitar and do my gimmick, anything like that. And he just became so good. It's like he's legitimately good, like as an entertainer, like musical, like it's. And he wasn't that good. I mean, he wasn't as good as he is now when he started. So he's just been practicing. And it's like, oh, we thought you won't get over. We didn't realize you're gonna get this over. And now you gotta do this whole wrestling thing. So, I mean, he's got the size to hang with people. He won't embarrass himself in the ring. It's just kind of like he just needs to get the reps in.
Well, and I think it'll be interesting just because he's always wrestled as a heel, he's gonna have to sell more, which is gonna be something that he really hasn't done a whole lot of. Because his matches, whether it's on NXT or on Raw, he really hasn't wrestled long matches even when he's had them.
Yeah, like it's mostly been like 4 or 5 minute matches. He'll hit a clothesline, a punch. He'll show off how strong he is with a power bomb, hit his finisher, and then you're like, oh yeah, he has theme music. Like, I couldn't tell you how his theme music started because they never play when he starts. I just know how it ends because he tends to like win most of his squash matches against Apollo Crews when he was a heel. So, but no, it's definitely a different dynamic, like you say. Wrestling as a baby face, learning how to sell is important. No, because that's something you got to do on an extended period basis. We'll see. Like, wrestling, I guess we can finish with this because I haven't. I talked about the women, but I haven't talked about the main woman. This Ronda Rousey stuff. The ring stuff is fine with Ronda Rousey. Like, she's definitely a lot better than she has any right to be, and I give her credit for that. I don't know what it is, but I don't know when it started. I think it started with that whole Nikki Bella stuff. It's something about her and a mic that's just off-putting with the promo she cut. Like, it doesn't, it either sounds like unnatural, or she just sounds like a, like, I told you, like, Bill the Butcher from Gangs of New York. Like, this whole, we need a pure type of fighter, and, you know, like, we need, I'm waiting for her talking about we need pure blood champions, not these mongrels and stuff. Like, she slut-shamed Nikki Bella. She was making fun of Becky Lynch. Somehow, you had to get a job while I was training. What? Okay, excuse me, because everyone was getting snuck on when they were 4 years old, get put in arm bars. Like, yeah, people had a real life. Like, you slain Becky Lynch while he's out there being a stewardess. I was learning how to do arm bars. While you were paying your bills, I learned how to do arm bars. Okay, Todd Marinovich Jr., like, good for you. So, you know, some people had to have, like, jobs. And it's just something that's real, like, it's something stilted. I don't know if it's her, Vince, or Kamo. I think a lot of it's her, because I remember her UFC stuff. Was like, no. She's just a meathead
on the microphone. Yeah, like, I feel like I don't get that vibe. Well, there are more sports people out and about that do not kind of go by the meathead tag. So I think it's a little strange to me when I do hear someone be a meathead. And I think it makes it extra strange that that person happens to be a woman. Because I would have to say I normally associate that behavior with men.
Yes. She sounds like someone from Barstool Sports, basically. Like, that whole, you try to call yourself the man, Becky, because you overcompensate. You probably stand up and take a piss and got a sandy vagina. Why don't you be more like a woman like me? I don't need to hear that type of stuff on Twitter from the face of WWE right now, Ronda Rousey. This will be a hero. And you sound like a worse version of Al Bundy. And it's just been bothering, like, it's been bothering me. And it started with that whole Nikki Bella stuff, and it's gone. Like, her feud with Becky Lynch brought out the worst in Ronda Rousey, because Ronda does not come off as likable at all. And she's feuding with Nia Jax, nobody likes her either. I know she accidentally almost broke Becky Lynch's face, but now they're just playing with it, like, oh, look what I did to my hand. I got a cut because that clumsy bitch. So it's like, take the heat and work, but it's like, you got an unlikable champion versus an unlikable challenger. Like, okay, good luck.
Yeah, that one's a little tricky. I mean, they've done a decent job trying to rehab her, because I at least I don't feel like that feeling has trickled over into all of the crowd yet. I think that if Rousey keeps up that kind of rhetoric, it will happen at some point. But I mean, even her, like, the "you deserved it" when Becky Lynch was whooping her, you know, it's, I definitely think that's a glimpse into the future. Probably when Ronda stays on this path.
I can see her turning heel at Mania real easy. Like, I can see that. And the funny thing is, she kind of would be justified, because it's like, how would you feel? You doing the right thing, you get jumped, and people chanting for you to get jumped. You've been in zero this whole time just because Becky Lynch is cool. Because the same thing kind of happened, to Charlotte too, and Charlotte lost her damn mind. Like, she didn't do anything wrong. It's just happened to run it. It's that whole thing, you get booked against the wrong person, and it happens. Like, it happens with the Usos, with the New Day, when the New Day were heels. But they were so damn cool that they squashed the Usos. And then yeah. it happened in reverse when the Usos were heels and they were so cool, they squashed the New Day. So it's definitely a thing where, you know, a cool heel against an uncool babyface, that tends to happen. Ronda will be fine as long as she's feuding with Nia Jax and the Riot Squad, because nobody likes either one of them. Her problem was like when she runs in like people, cool people that people like. So as long as they don't, like, you know, if she feuds like Sasha Banks or Bayley, it ain't gonna end well. She better not feud with nobody from SmackDown. Like those top five. Like, it's funny. It's not even just like, you know, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, or Asuka. It's like Carmella would definitely get cheered over Ronda Rousey, and so would Naomi. Like, it's just fun. It's just funny how many women are over on SmackDown. Like that, that people just generally like.
Yeah, that's why I've been about in tears with the people asking Carmella about her spot, and she's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, do you know how much TV time I'm getting?
Yeah, like, she opened up SmackDown 1000 and got to dance with Vince McMahon. Bury me like that. That's what they call bury. Like, R-Truth went to Evolution solely to wrap her out to her match. That's all he was there for.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I didn't even think about that until somebody pointed out, like, think about that. You go in there to this woman pay-per-view to basically be her manager.
Yeah, you're her valet.
Yeah, and it's like, she gets more TV time than she was getting when she was champ. Her and Truth do that whole shop zone thing. Like, they are over. Like, she gets plenty of TV time. She's definitely likable. So I was laughing too, because I'm like, oh, you was a champ, and now you're not. I was like, I bet you she's more over than she was as a champ. She's probably making more money now than she was as a champ. Like, she's doing fine.
Yeah.
Like, out of the non-champions, she probably gets the most time out of all the women that aren't, like, main event women. By, like, a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Naomi, well, and even Asuka, until this appearance, they were definitely getting less TV time than Carmella.
Yeah, it's like, you know, she get opening segments, she show in the main event, like she gets mixed match challenge stuff. Like, no, do not shed tears for all the women you worry about Carmella. Like, she's fine. It's like, it's just hilarious. Like, out of her, Enzo, and Big Cass, she had the best WWE career by far. Like, it ain't even close.
Yeah, yeah. And she probably has a lot longer to go.
And yeah, I definitely, because I don't know. Who did you do the show with? When did you guys talk about Cass when he was in the crowd at that pay-per-view?
Oh, Enzo? Yes, no.
Enzo, like.
No, I don't think we really talked about that nonsense very much.
Can we end the show on that?
Sure. Why not?
What the hell was he thinking? Like, I'm going to show up in a disguise and then make a scene during a match to be, like, what was your end game? What was your plan?
Well, and didn't his shirt say "I'm doing fine" or something like that? And it's just
not doing fine, my friend.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, like I know that someone else said it, but I have rarely shown my face in a former place of employment. I will admit that I worked at an amusement park, and I have, on a very rare occasion, gone back down there. But for the most part, nah, if I don't have that job anymore, I am not going back there anymore. And there's no reason to do that. Like, I don't want to do it. Like, and that guy, I mean, people talked about him throwing around money when he was in the WWE. I'm like, how? Why do you want to throw around money now?
Yeah, I'm like, how much money does he have to throw around at this point? Because it's kind of like, I'm sure he wasn't making NXT money, but I doubt he was making, like, you know, Roman Reigns money. He was spending money like he was Ric Flair in 87. Like, I'm bragging about this. I'm got front row seats at the Mayweather fight.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, you don't, okay, you know, that money gotta last, son. Like, indies aren't gonna be, I know indies are booming, but you ain't gonna be making it like Cody Rhodes making it. I'm just, the whole thing is, and it's just funny, because I used to hear people all the time talking about, see, y'all be worried about Chad Gable and all that flippy crap. Look how over Enzo is. He showed that wrestling's about cutting promos and personality, and he'll be doing it long before these flippity flip guys doing it. And yeah, look how that landed. Like, that guy might be homeless in two years. And every time I see him, I just get mad because, one, he's just a dickhead. Two, Neville left WWE solely because he had to lose to this clown twice. And just quit out of principle. And I, you know what? I don't even blame him.
Oh.
Because if I had to lose that, like, yeah, you know what? This ain't worth it. Like, I'm bust. Like, and it's just, but the funny thing is kind of like, it flamed out so much that they had to rebuild 205 Live to what it is now. Because I don't think, like, 205 Live is awesome now. But they basically had to down the vibe because it's kind of like, let's make Enzo the face of this cup of 205 Live. It might be fun. Look what happened. Was anybody having fun when he was clowning around with Drew Gulak? Like, who did it benefit besides maybe Drew Gulak?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of brought out Gulak's personality, which he's kind of continued with. But outside of that, there really was no good that came out of that.
And I heard all these people try to defend him. And, like, you know, maybe he'll add some fire, some personality. And I'm like, you know, a pigeon, you know, if you play chess with a pigeon is so personality too. When it's shit all over the board, that don't mean it's fun. And that don't mean it's productive. Like, it was not. I have never, like, I made the comment that Jeremy, like, you can be small. And you can be a guy that's not a good wrestler, but you can't be small and not be a good wrestler. Like, he's a small cruiserweight that didn't have the body and couldn't wrestle. And he was a babyface. So how was that supposed to work?
It didn't.
Yeah, like wrestling, like, you know, you need to wrestle to wrestle. I mean, I know that's probably something Bill Watts said once upon a time, but like that's still like, you need to wrestle to be a wrestler. And he couldn't wrestle. And he was in a division where you have to wrestle. Like, it's the cruiserweights. You got to keep up. You're not doing any fancy stuff. You're not doing submission stuff. You're not doing any, like, you know, striking stuff. You're just out there doing crappy bulldogs and can't even clothesline people off the ropes. It's like, you making Eva Marie look like Kairi Sane. Like, like, no. And I just thought about that, seeing him in the crowd. And it's like, wrestling can be real weird out of context. Like, I couldn't even know how I could explain that to somebody, like that whole situation.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely don't see that in any of the major sports, I don't think. I don't feel like... it was kind of hilarious how bad the costume was. It was just like he wanted to be noticed at some point, and he definitely made sure he got a seat in front of the hard camera.
Mm-hmm. That was not by accident.
So,
and I would have got away with it if it wasn't for these damn kids.
Yeah, I mean, you've gotta be gunning for that kind of a spot. At some point, if you do that, though. So, yeah, you can't blame Scooby-Doo and these damn kids for outing you on the Twitters.
Oh, man. But that's just... Because I remember watching the pay-per-view, and I heard people like, wait a second, that Enzo? I'm like, nah, he can't be that damn dumb. And I felt stupid after saying that, considering we were talking about. And then popped up, yeah, it was him. And, yeah, he got booted out and everything like that. And it's just like... Has anybody flamed out that fast? Because it was a time when he was a real big deal. on Raw, like him and even more than Kaz, like, you know, and yeah. It just.
Yeah, I mean, I can attest. I know that I went to at least two Raws, and even my wife was just like, "Oh, this is a lot of fun," you know. The whole catchphrase thing. I mean, you really can be good at talking and get away with it. But you know, like you said, he wasn't really competent enough in the ring to. Make up for his to kind of at least counterbalance his great mic work.
Yeah, like people compare him to the Road Dog. I'm like, that's an insult to the Road Dog because Brian James can wrestle. Like, I know it's like you think about these catchphrases and cool like that. Like, he can, like, he's an Armstrong. So even a bad Armstrong is an Armstrong. Like, he can have a decent match. And he had size.
Oh, so
it's kind of like he could fit in. Like, he basically could wrestle and fit in with the people he's wrestling with. So that was never an issue. So I think people tend to underestimate that when they do a comparison. Like, no, they had catchphrases in the comment. And that's it. Because when the bell rings, one is Brian James and one ain't.
Yeah, and at least you could sell real tough. I shouldn't even say sell. You could help. Sell James with the Marine toughness situation going on for him too, so you can sell a real life angle with him.
Yeah.
And there was nothing of the sort for Enzo to fall back on.
Very true. And to wrap it up, because people enjoying Daniel Bryan, two things I saw on Twitter. One's from Hurricane Helms, who says, if Daniel Bryan really cared about humanity, he kicked the entire cast of Chrissy Knows Best in the groin. And then someone else said, Daniel Bryan being a heel because he reads books is a very on the nose indictment of wrestling fans. Yeah, it's like, it's just funny, like, Daniel Bryan just wants to save the planet and, like, care about things, and he's just doing it in an obnoxious way, but it's like, because he's passionate about that, and that makes him hate it. Because he make it funny, like, how dare you eat hamburgers? You know these. You know how much carbon pollution these cows are forcing? You know what they go through in life? I just want a damn steak, Daniel. Like, focus on AJ Styles and leave me alone.
Oh, man. So you can focus on us at DeFrango11, at ShawFarmD, at StuntGranny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us, and I will let Shahid take us on out of here.
For Kevin DeFranco, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and if you're on SmackDown, cover your genitals, because those heels don't play fair. We are out.